Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, the podcast so explosive that you have to prick it with a fork before you put it in the oven. Hello, James Acaster.
Oh boy, are you a sleepy little boy?
I am a sleepy little boy, but I actually thought my sausage-based intro was quite strong.
Yes, well done, Ed Gamble. It was a good intro, but you delivered it in a way where you were like, whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. And that's a bad way to deliver it, because it's actually a really great episode today.
Oh, it's such a great episode, baby.
Of our food podcast, where we ask our special guests, James,
their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, and our guests. This week are
Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero. They are two brilliant comedians. They are also a married couple. They are our first couple on the podcast in the Dream Restaurant, James.
I'm so excited. We never had two guests on at the same time before, especially two guests who know each other's eating habits so well. They can't lie. They can't get out of things. They can't try and make themselves sound cool, because the other one will be able to call them out on it. I'm excited.
I hope they've come to the Dream Restaurant for a lovely, fun, romantic dinner and not an awkward arguing dinner.
Yes, good point, Ed. However, we will, and this could be the first episode where we chuck someone out and still have someone left in the restaurant. That's what's quite exciting.
It's very exciting. If they say a secret ingredient, or one of them says a secret ingredient that we have predetermined, they will be asked to leave the restaurant. And the secret ingredient this week is tapioca pearls. And I'm fed up of you forgetting what it is and then wait for me to start saying it and then joining in, James. It's not fair. You're piggybacking on my memory.
I look up to you and I follow your lead.
Tapioca pearls. If they say tapioca pearls,
I like them. Just want to get that in.
Weird, chewy little balls. There's no point to them.
Personally, I like them. I think they're pretty tasty. But, you know, majority rules.
Well, it's not a majority. I'm only 50%. I don't know. The great Benito's got the deciding vote. What do you reckon? He doesn't care. So it is tapioca pearls are the secret ingredient. So let's hope they don't say that. But let's hear the off-menu menus of Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero.
I'm going to put an extra chair up.
Welcome, Moshe and Natasha, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Hi.
welcome, Natasha and Moshe, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time. It's about time we had a couple in here, Ed.
Yes, you are our first couple in the Dream Restaurant. It's normally, for a restaurant, a very lonely place.
Listen, I don't want to start the ranking early, but yeah. I got to say, intro number two was a little bit, that was a little more
okay,
explosive.
Well, just to let you know, he's a genius. So he's a genius. No, I know. So, you know, of course, it's it'd be disappointing if it wasn't an explosive intro.
Right.
That's why I go first, because I'm just a human.
Okay, got it. Yeah. All right.
Well, ours also, we're not eating as a couple in our dream restaurant.
No, that's true. We're eating as single people.
Okay, separate tables?
No, we'll sit together. Yeah. Wait, but how do people eat as a couple? Nobody eats as a couple. Everybody always orders separate dishes regardless. Yeah, that's true.
But we're at different restaurants.
I thought you were about to say we're different races. Which I in our dream restaurant, we're different races.
Yeah, sure. That's nice thing. It's a dream restaurant. Let's mix it up a bit.
So, yeah, my starter is going to be, I'm going to be a Maori warrior.
Feel free to change throughout.
Did you notice me flipping through which race would feel the least awkward?
Yeah.
Maori warrior, it felt empowering. It felt good.
Yeah.
You're like, no one in this room really knows enough about that. So I can say that and get away with it.
We can't really sort of delve into stereotypes when we don't have the knowledge to do so.
Okay, so this podcast is not about race and race
theory? No.
Not usually.
What do we sign up for? I do a lot of podcasts, but they're all on one subject.
Yes, yeah. So
you two, for this podcast, do you want to be divorced?
Yeah, that sounds delightful.
We just have a divorce now.
How about we never met?
Oh, we're new to each other.
That's even harsher. Weirdly.
That now starts to feel like a whole role-playing thing that I don't necessarily want to get into.
Okay, we've never met, but she is sort of, I would guess like I'd say an underage schoolgirl kind of thing.
Well, divorce might take away some of the happiness that I might derive from some of the places.
From having never met me?
That's what I'm saying. It'd be better if we had never met.
Yeah, you don't want to be like sitting there thinking, oh, my marriage is over.
Yeah.
But it's much nicer being sitting there going, maybe I'll meet a guy.
Yeah, I guess I'll have another piece of pot pie. My marriage is over.
So you would say, when you said it'd be better if we never met, you meant for the game?
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't mean...
In general?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because we are in reality, not in the dream restaurant. We'd be fucking.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Still. What the 7 years in.
But not in the dream restaurant.
No. Not here. No.
You will be going to the bathroom one at a time. We're not having any of that in the dream restaurant. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be keeping my eyes on you, actually.
You guys usually keep eyes on people that go to the restaurant?
Yeah. This is our restaurant. We're running how we like.
Oh, it's your dream restaurant as well.
Yeah. It's a dream restaurant.
We work here.
It's actually not a dream bathroom. It's just a normal bathroom. And there's a guy who has to look after that tomorrow.
Makes plenty of sense.
Yeah. We've got a toilet attendant. I hope that's fine. We've got a toilet attendant who is a pixie.
I was going to go zombie, but happy with pixie.
Zombie, that's good.
Hey, not to break the game here, but am I allowed to do a meta commentary on this podcast?
Absolutely, yeah.
So we were listening, this memory popped into my mind as we were coming over here because we were listening to Kumail's episode and he was talking about spicy food and stuff. Uh-huh. And a great memory popped into my brain when we brought Kumail to a Szechuan restaurant. But by the way, LA has some of the greatest Chinese food you will ever.
But true spice,
it's a Szechuan spice, and it's like
numbing.
Nothing like the Chinese food I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And they say that the San Gabriel Valley area of Los Angeles, which is about 40 minutes outside of anywhere you'd ever visit other than to go get Chinese food, is the densest concentration of different kinds of Chinese food that you can get anywhere in the world, and maybe even including China, because in China, all the Chinese
They
live where they
live.
And
it's not that far. It's like 25 minutes.
But here they all move to town. And it's a really surreal place because it's where American Graffiti was filmed. So the artifice of the place looks like a classic Americana town place. But it's like 85% Chinese immigrants. So it looks like this like classic 50s America, but it's like little China. Mm. Anyway, we brought Kumail there and he'd never had Szechuan food before. And by like 10 minutes in, you were asking about sweating. Sweating, coughing, like asking the waitress for more water, and left, went to the bathroom without his wife.
Yeah.
And it was the funniest. I just kept saying, you're from Pakistan. You grew up in Pakistan. Like, we've outspiced
like the numbing.
They didn't like the numbing.
But it's a different kind of spice.
It is a different kind of spice.
I was very lucky to be in the room with James when he had Szechuan spice for the first time. And it is a joy to watch someone experience it for the first time.
I panicked. I didn't know.
Do you start sweating from your temples?
I didn't know it was meant to numb your mouth.
It doesn't feel like
when
food.
When I had that sensation, I thought, oh man, they've like not taking the washing up liquid out of this bowl or something. I'm eating chemicals I'm not meant to eat.
But in a nice way.
As soon as you told me that's meant to happen, yeah. I was like, great, well, I'm going to eat all of it. I loved it.
To your credit, I don't know if it's still like this, but for a time in American markets, the Szechuan spice in particular would be on and off the black market. Right. So 1 week you'd go in and be like, it's legal, and you could buy a regular. And then the next week you go back and the spice man would be like, this week you have to go see a man in an alley.
Wow.
They would toggle back and forth. So it wasn't... Anyway.
Right. You're our first couple as well.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
We've ever had two guests at once before.
Yeah.
When you first met, did you bond over food? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
I think Moshe's more of a foodie than I am. He's from San Francisco, and when he was little, his mom, they didn't have a lot of money, but his mom would always take him to a fancy restaurant when he was like a kid in San Francisco.
For his birthday.
Yeah.
My birthday present was that she would say, what do you want? And I would always say, I want to go to a really fancy restaurant. And we were very poor too. We were on food stamps. What's the equivalent of such a thing?
The dole?
No,
yeah,
that seems
well,
old.
There's,
or I using mean, like food banks
food
or something
banks
like that.
Yeah.
So we were like poor on welfare, on state assistance. And once a year we would go to a really fancy restaurant. I have very fond memories of these, of slumming it in these fancy restaurants.
But I never really had nice food. So I feel like I'm very into atmosphere. Like I'll totally take a downgrade on food for like a restaurant that's been open for 100 years. I just like to sit in those places. Like if I'm on the road, I always like Google like what's the oldest restaurant. Like if I have an extra night or something where I have nothing, you know, I'm going to go out to dinner or something.
But by old restaurant, we're American, so it means like 30 plus years. Real old school charm.
KFC's been here for some time.
Here's a fun fact
about Moshe is a snob about food, and you also know how to eat everything.
I'm not a snob because I like food on all spectral levels of the food chain, of the economic food chain. Like I think the Chinese food that I get in the San Gabriel Valley is as good as any 5-star restaurant I've ever been to in my life. That's one of the best meals one can ever have.
But you also don't eat cheese, really.
I do eat cheese. No, I eat cheese. You don't want to get into my dietary issues.
You two don't know each other.
You only eat certain fish.
That's true. I got also weird kosher stuff going
You'll
on.
You'll eat chicken, but not beef.
Well, this is why I think I'm actually...
You won't... Okay.
No, please. What else you got?
Well, I'm just saying, and you eat pretty healthy.
Well, this is why I think I'm actually the best gauge of a great restaurant of anybody, because I'm so annoying that if you can bring me a meal that adheres to my dietary restrictions and it's still a 5 out of 5, then you're really a good restaurant, because I'm not even getting the true experience of how the restaurant's supposed to be experienced.
Sure. So, I mean, when you two go out to eat together, it must be quite difficult that you've got to find a really old place that does food that you like.
So
it's hard.
We only go to Jewish delis, ever.
Right. So we always start with still a sparkling water on the podcast. I don't know. This is unprecedented, Ed.
Right. Oh, you're worried one of us is going to stay still and the other will say sparkling.
Yeah, but I think we can sort it out.
Separate them out.
Like Jack Spratt and his wife over here.
Maybe we should do it like we're ordering, because like, honestly, I always order sparkling because I know he likes that more.
Oh, do you want still?
I prefer still water.
Really?
Yeah,
this is a straight up exclusive.
Here we go.
Well, in general, it just seems slightly more healthy.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? I drink a lot of sparkling water, and she's convinced that it has some sort of negative medicinal property.
No, I just think it's probably better to drink more regular water.
Probably. Is it, though?
It's got to be.
More and more now, I think people are saying sparkling is bad. Is bad for you. Bad for your teeth.
Bad for your teeth.
Bad for your insides. Makes you burp.
So it's only your teeth and your insides, though. Everything
it's just
else.
The teeth of the inside.
Your skin, though. Oh, effervescent.
Yeah. But have it once in a while. But anyway, when we're out to dinner, I would say sparkling because it's nice. And we get some limes on the side.
But you're ordering that for Moshe.
And for me. I enjoy it as
well. All right. Okay.
You know what's interesting, though, is she said, let's talk about it like we're ordering at a real restaurant.
Yeah.
When we go to a restaurant together, literally every time, that entire speech is what she tells the waiter. It's uncomfortable for me. But yes, we'll take sparkling, please.
Sparkling water.
Put some limes if you have them.
Oh, I can get some limes.
Yeah.
Would be an awful start to a dream meal if you were like, we are out of limes.
There are no limes.
No limes, sorry. And also no food. Goodbye.
Can we fuck in the bathroom?
Okay.
You can speak to the bathroom zombie about that.
Yeah. Do you want the limes cut up? In like a certain way? Do you want them halved, quartered?
A Union Jack would be nice. Just thematically, UK listeners.
I feel like requesting any limes in any sort of way is a little over the top.
You know what? Oh, yeah? Actually, I do have a lime preference. I don't like when a lime is a full slice of the lime.
I agree.
Because what are you supposed to do? You have to get your hands all mushy.
There's no purchase.
I don't want it to look like a garnish. I want the flavor of that lime. So give me a wedge.
You want to squeeze it? You want to squeeze it with a wedge?
Yeah, give me that wedge.
That's a lot of fun squeezing a wedge.
It is so fun.
You should ask them at the end about our restaurant dilemma.
Oh, what? Okay. What is it? Okay. Wow. This is good. Kind of.
The end?
Yeah. You guys are going to have to think about this.
Okay.
Or maybe I can just ask you really quickly.
Yeah, sure. Okay, go ahead. It is about to be quick.
What's more fun, though, is that usually what we do is we set up a kind of psychological game where the podcast hosts have to like deal with thinking about it the whole time just to try to get them off their rhythm. What is our dilemma?
No, because I was just out to eat with Todd Berry in New York and he said he agrees with me, but everyone on our podcast agrees with you.
If the kitchen closes
at 10 p.m., will you go there at... But the restaurant stays open. The kitchen closes at 10. At 9:50, would you go in and have a meal?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I would. Because I think if they want to shut the kitchen early, they should put the time earlier. Yeah.
He starts to freak out. Like, everyone's going to get upset. And there'll be nothing open. And he's like, I'm not going in there. They close in 15 minutes. And I'm like, but they stay open for us to eat.
Unreal. Aren't you guys the creators of etiquette?
What you think it's rude? About you? You think it's rude to go in and order within the time they've said you can order?
Don't you attack me. I'm not married to you. No. Yes.
I knew you guys would agree with me.
I do think it's rude. Everybody's like, literally, they're untying their little apron. And they're like, it's about that time.
But I used to be a waiter, and you get an extra $30 or $20 just from you coming
Not in England. They don't even tip, really. Do you tip?
No,
not really.
No, absolutely.
So you don't even have that justification.
There's no incentive.
I'll go in there at 9:59 if I want.
Would you really?
I'll beg at 10:10.
I think if they say it's 10 o'clock, that's when it shuts.
That's when the restaurant shuts, but...
No, the kitchen.
No, the kitchen shuts at 10.
In theory, this restaurant's staying
open
longer.
People are sometimes at a bar. People are finishing their meals that just came to them at 9:55 or 10.
Here's the dilemma I have. First of all, I don't ever want to put people into an awkward position. I don't want to impose on people. But also, I don't want to be in a restaurant where everyone hates me while I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm thinking, these people are miserable and they just want me to leave.
And the worry is if you go in on order at 9:59, they're doing something to that food.
I never think about that, but I guess that is a good worry.
But you just think they're all going like, who the hell's come in?
Yeah.
I used to work in a kitchen, and if we were about to close, and we were like, sometimes it'd be a really like slow day, and then in the last hour we're like, let's tidy down now, let's clean everything, and you're ready to go, and then right at that last 10 minutes someone comes in and orders something, and we're like, who the we're really angry about it. However,
and now you're a successful comedian. You're just like, fuck these people, fuck my roots. I'm gonna just do what I want.
He goes back to the place he used to work.
Yeah,
and they're still working there. All those people.
We'll go into the kitchen, make a little deep eye contact with an old coworker. Yeah, it's me, motherfucker.
Here's who the fucks just ordered.
I would like the combo for two. That was the most common order.
What's the combo for two?
It was like deep fried mushrooms that breadcrumbed, it was deep fried everything. Potato wedges that had like loads of horrible cheese and stuff in them. It's like, just a load of deep fried platter.
So a bit
onion
of a,
rings.
Bit of a high-end restaurant fries. Bit of a Epicurean type of situation.
It was all microwaved and fried, and then like a soft play area for the kids. Okay. That was like the...
Which was all fried as well.
All fried and crispy.
I guess.
Kids knocking about.
Okay, well,
in the end
like...
of this, we'd like sparkling water.
Sparkling water, wedges of lime.
I just thought you guys would have a good take on it.
No, it's not a good take because they agree with you.
Interesting. So like us and Todd Barry.
Most of the people have like been berating me online, saying that how can you think that? But I just wanted to make it clear.
How did you know? How did your instincts tell you so deeply?
These are reasonable people.
Yeah. You don't know them. We just got here.
I could
tell. Yeah, but we give off that vibe. We were kind of like us and Todd Barry.
Just very reasonable people.
Yeah, classic reasonable.
Well, he's very into restaurants too. You know, like people who are very into like going out to eat. I like going out to eat. I want to go out to eat all the time.
I would say 80% of the meals I've eaten in my adult life have been in restaurants. 90%?
Yeah.
Really?
95%?
That's pretty high.
You wouldn't cook at home?
I would. I just generally didn't. Yeah. I was single before Natasha and I got together. I was perpetually single, only single. So it's like there's
and you're
nothing.
You're living in Oakland with your, you know, hanging out with friends.
Nothing more depressing than cooking a meal for yourself and then having like a lot of leftovers. And just like,
but
just
you're actually a really good cook.
I am a good cook.
Moshe can
okay
like
cook.
Improvise like a salad dressing or like vegan cookies or like the best like pasta. Like he's like very good at like
I can fry a mushroom like
seasonings.
You couldn't believe.
Oh
yeah. Combo for two.
You'd be a good saucier.
I have a combo for two from Moshe. Papadums or bread? Papadums or bread?
I'm going to go bread. Papadums or bread?
Oh, bread.
Bread. Bread for sure.
Both going bread.
Bread's
both
better.
Bread. The same bread.
I like papadum if I'm eating like an Indian meal, but I don't know if I want it just all the time.
I mean, bread is just better. Bread is best.
Uh-huh.
The question is what kind of bread.
Yeah, what sort of bread is the question.
Can
really?
You agree on that?
As long as the butter has like flakes of salt on it, I'm
you're into
happy.
That. Yes. Yeah. I skip butter generally. Mm-hmm. I skip the butter. And they say to skip the bread, but I'll take, if I'm going to say the best bread is, unequivocally, it's got to be French. French, for the uh-huh. French do bread better than everybody else, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right?
The French is nailed bread.
Yeah.
We're still married at this point.
You're back on the same page now. Yeah.
Well, when we start talking about Frenching, I mean, it's just like, oh, it brings back a lot of good memories.
Yeah. Suddenly.
Yeah. French bread, please. Lots of crust.
Uh-huh.
And make it warm.
We could probably sort out an all crust baguette for you.
Oh,
if
that
you
would.
Just
that
crust.
Would, now, that is an experiment worth trying.
Yeah.
What it would take is 50 plus baguettes.
Yeah.
With a long spoon where you just comb out the soft, spongy dough, the part that everybody likes.
The bread.
You throw that to the masses, you know, a beggar on the street.
Yeah.
And then just stuff in. They'd have
you
to
need
be,
smaller baguettes all the way down.
Exactly. Russian doll kind of thing. So Russian bread.
Yeah.
In general, that's a pretty bad way to start your meal. Like, you would never start your meal at home with like four pieces of white bread.
No, not at all.
It's really not good. We should just always skip it. You know what? We're skipping the bread today.
Oh, we'll skip the bread.
Yeah.
Honey, we'll skip the bread.
I mean, it's a good point. No one at home is like,
yeah, I'll just eat a loaf.
But I do
a basket of bread and butter.
Before your pasta.
I will say that I like when I'm at a fancy restaurant and they come by with one of those like stone slates with like nine kinds of bread.
Uh-huh.
And they all, but the problem that they put you into a pig dilemma, which is they're like, okay, now would you like the cardamom bread with a Roquefort crust, or would you like the rye with a sweet and salty chutney, or would you? And you're like, I obviously want all of it. Give me one of all.
You do though. You're like, can I have one of each of those?
Yeah, you can't say give me all. So you go, I'll have have one of those and those and those and those and oh my, is that all of them? Yeah.
Just leave the slate.
It'd be a lot more considerate if they just described one of them awfully.
Yeah. Or the dog shit plank. And did you want that?
Yeah.
No,
or
I guess I'll skip that.
This bread. Starters?
Oh, a starter. What do you got?
I like that wedge salad with bacon and blue cheese dressing.
A wedge, a classic wedge.
Yeah. But then that's before I turned Jewish and don't eat bacon anymore.
Yeah, she turned Jewish.
And then
I found her.
Moshe, that's the only forbidden food in our house is pork.
Yeah, okay. We don't do pork.
Is turned Jewish the right phrase?
That is scientific.
How did that happen?
I converted.
So the full moon comes along. Yeah. Right? Every seventh full moon is a blood moon. Uh-huh. And if you there's a specific incantation, but if you say the incantation at the blood moon, you turn Jewish.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, but didn't your grandma used to be the main salad maker?
Oh, yeah. My dad also told me that my grandma was like the salad maker at this old Italian restaurant.
Nona, she was called.
Nana.
Oh, yeah. Nana?
Yeah. And Nana. So she would, what was it? She was blind or no, her sight was bad?
No, she had no sense of taste. Wasn't that what
she
said?
Oh, she had no sense of taste.
This is the best thing about having a couple is you can remind each other of your own anecdotes.
My grandmother, who had none of her senses.
I had never lived.
Never lived.
Well, my dad just visited and told us this story, and it was very confusing when he was telling it to me, but he said that she would smell the salad to know when it had enough like of everything in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. No thank you to that salad, please.
Yeah. No, she was a master.
She was like the master
of...
So she didn't have a sense of taste. But she had a sense of smell.
Listen, did you feel when we said the no sense of taste that we were 100% sure that that's how the story went?
No.
So it's possible she did have a robust sense of taste.
There was a sense that she didn't have.
No,
that's
but
right.
I do think the salad is like the way to go for a starter.
And the point is, her grandma was an old Italian salad master.
Yes.
And so it's in my blood.
Good.
For my starter, I'm going to go a little differently than my wife. I wanted to start with, well, I had two things I couldn't quite decide between. One was, I thought that I would have hummus from, there's one particular place in Akko in Israel. It's a medieval crusade town. The only reason that it exists is because the crusaders came there and like established a little fort there or whatever. And it was it's the best hummus I've ever had in my life. And I just, you know, in Israel and in the Middle East, they'll do hummus as a meal, which I think is the way that it should be done. But for today.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen people do that though? It's like a bowl of, instead of like porridge, it's hummus, and they eat it with a spoon.
It's the full meal.
Our friend's Nish Kumar, the comedian, he is the only person I know who eats hummus like a yogurt. Like he'll just stand at the fridge eating hummus with a spoon.
No, but hummus as a meal is a whole thing. It's a kind of restaurant. You sit down and they're like, you want hummus, and then they'll say, what do you want on it? And you get, I'll have chicken or I'll have ful or whatever, you know, the big fava bean kind or whatever.
This is your starter?
Well, I want this hummus from this place.
I see.
I thought.
Yeah.
Do you want anything on it?
Absolutely.
Chicken?
That's a good question. Do I want anything on it? I'll get sliced egg and hot sauce. Ooh. Oh. And with pickles. Oh, no, I'll get some pickles on that bad boy.
What about
too.
Some olives?
Slipe them on there. Yeah, let's do that. Sure, why not? Yeah, hell yeah.
Olives, do you want a bowl of everything?
Yeah, I want a bowl of everything. I want a combo number two. Yeah. Take all that, deep fry it, put it in the microwave, bring it on back.
On its way.
I had some fantastic hummus in LA the other night at a restaurant that I cannot pronounce the name of.
Was it called Mazeh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good hummus.
Really good. Really, yes. Really, truly good. It's one of those places, the Middle East, and I'm going to get into this more later with my main dish, but it's like bizarre when you go and you order hummus in Israel or in another country in the Middle East, and then you come to the West and it's an Arab or an Israeli making you the food, and it's not even close. You're like, what is the thing that is, you clearly know how to make the thing. What is different here than there?
Yeah.
What's available ingredients?
Is that what it is?
Freshness, good like local produce.
It's so on another level. The falafel I've had in Israel is so on another level. Yeah. It's as if the falafel everywhere else is a different kind of food.
Right, yeah.
And that goes double for the hummus.
The hummus at this place was, I really enjoyed it, and it was so good that it made me get over the fact I was sitting on a rickety table on a pavement outside having waited 40 minutes and everything was written on a paper bag. I think I'm like 5 years past thinking that's
it's
cool.
It's like sleeping on a friend's couch.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
that's never
totally
been
what
there.
It is. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm over this.
It was worth it?
It was really good.
That place is delicious. But speaking of like getting past it, we have friends who are also a couple, and they'll remain nameless, but they do a thing called, they'll call on Postmates or whatever to Mazeh and do, what did they call it? Order...
Fire the menu.
We saw that. Yeah,
then you just order the whole menu.
That place is the place that does it.
Maybe so. I never heard of such.
Absolutely is. It says it on the menu.
It says fire the menu.
Give us everything. We'll take it all. Get rid of it.
Like, what else do you got?
Start again.
We arrived 1 minute before the kitchen closed, and I said, "Fire the menu.
Fire the manager. I'm going home."
So, would you like your wedge salad made by your nonna?
Not really, because she put sausage in it.
Okay. Not so much the master anymore. I thought she was a
you know, like that cold master. Italian sausage.
No, absolutely not her. She was awful.
Fire the nona.
I've also realized, because we've got two of you on, it's the first time we could technically do competitive off menu.
Sure.
We could decide with each round what the better one is.
I love this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys are okay with that. Is that
all right? Of course. Our marriage is nothing if not a long-term competition. Yeah.
So, just so you know, my salad, you're eating it at Paradise Cove, which is on Malibu outside, and there's like a sea breeze.
Okay, if we're doing it like that, just so you know, my hummus is from, as I said, a medieval town in the Middle East that was, it looks like a castle from Indiana Jones, you know, the Lost Crusade or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's literally ancient medieval ruins, which isn't going to mean as much to you two, but for us, this is significant, with the waves of the Mediterranean lapping at slowly crumbling ruins.
That's a good ocean.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. There's a few more paragraphs there than what you said, Natasha. I mean,
but when you were talking about the old castle, I saw Natasha was like, I want to go to that place.
Yeah.
No, Malibu, you know, you don't really need to sell it.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Malibu, it stands alone. Yeah. Well, what do you guys...
I think I would have been more intrigued if it was made by your blind, deaf, and dumb Nonna, and I, like that would have like kind of like lured me in a bit more. Yeah. A bit of a personal touch. Would have quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm a hummus guy though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like. Ooh. Look, it's only the.
Have fun in Israel. Yeah. I'll be in Malibu white wine.
You're an Israel guy? Whoa, this just got so political. I did not anticipate that. Okay, but okay.
Oh, dear. Main courses.
Main courses. Well, I think this was where I might split the room. I want a burrito. Okay. And I only did that because you guys are from England and I wanted to make a rhetorical point, which is that no one in England has ever had a burrito.
Okay.
You know, like in the same way that no one in America has ever really had good Indian or Pakistani food, unless we go to England, or I would assume Pakistan and India, but not been to those places. But the differential, I don't know why this is the theme of everything I'm ordering, but the differential between a burrito. And by the way, I live in LA. There's barely any burritos here.
LA is like a taco town.
It's truly, it's like San Francisco. That's now that's the home of the burrito. I want a San Francisco Mission Street burrito. There's one good burrito I've had in LA, and LA burritos are like sloppy.
I bet you British people eat them with a knife and fork.
No, actually don't.
He makes fun of how I eat them because I like tear it in half.
Oh, she'll try to eat it like a slice of pizza, like flatten it out and then just like macerate
it. He's such a snob about how to eat a burrito. He's like, you got to like suck it.
I'm not.
What? He's always like, you got to like bite and suck.
You kind of tease it for a while and then you go to the base for a bit. You flick your tongue on the bottom and then you go back up. And then, actually, honestly, I know you guys are incredulous or whatever, but part of a true burrito technician eating experience is you have to do a bit of suction while you're eating.
What? Where are you sucking this?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So like,
because it's too full.
Yeah.
It's full, right? So like, let's say the head. Yeah. Let's say the corona of the burrito. So the bite technique. First of all, the wrapping technique is that you start at the top. Mm. You unwrap a little bit, like a spiral candy or whatever.
The foil.
A little foil, but a little bit. Fold it down so you won't get any foil in your mouth. Yeah. So then you just have a chunk of edible area.
Just peeking over the top.
Just peeking, but not. You don't want it to be too up high because then you're going to bite into foil. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
And then once it's ready and you're secure, your base is secure, you take a first bite, no suck, no need. You got a solid.
First bite, no suck, no need.
No suck, no need. First bite, no suck, no need. That's what everyone in San Francisco says.
Yeah.
Second bite, now you got a lot of stuff going on, right? You got your rice, you got your beans, you got your meat, you got your cheese, you got your sour cream, salsa. Yeah. Like what you're going to do if you just bite in like some kind of fucking dumb animal is it's going to fall all over your neck.
It's going to be like all sour cream or something.
Yeah, you're going to get blasted. You're going to get blasted on the
chest.
It's
going to erupt on you.
It's just gonna. Just
if you take
bust.
A second bite, it will erupt it's on
gonna,
you and be all over your neck and chest.
It's gonna bust. The truth is, at the second bite, I'm overdoing it. At the second bite, you're still pretty good because you got a lot of tortilla on the top that's still holding stuff in. By the time you're getting down into the middle of the burrito, it's a fucking war zone, right?
Yeah.
And so
what
you got to do is you put your mouth. You don't just bite. You put your mouth in the area you want to eat from. You get ready. You crane your neck just a bit. You give yourself an angle. You go in, and then you bite and suck.
I think that's gross.
A mild suck.
Oh, it's gross. Yeah.
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah, objectively gross.
He's always like, you gotta suck it.
Objectively correct, though. I mean, it's how you get the burrito to stay solid and to not just fall apart in your hands.
I would rather you just like took some of the foil off, so you got just enough left, and then before you've even bitten, you just stick a straw through it, and then you suck it that way.
Suck the liquid all
what
that
I will do, would. What I often do is I'll get a burrito, and I'll loosen out the sides of the tortilla, and then I'll get like I've got like a pretty big vape sort of device, and I undo the cartridge. I pour burrito, just the contents of the burrito, and there'll be a slice of tortilla on the top, slice on the bottom. Yeah. I'll crane it back in, and I just vape that burrito. And there's no muss, no fuss.
Truly. That's completely fine.
And it's good for you. That's the other anything you vape is inherently healthy.
Yeah, it's good for the lungs.
So it's no calories.
Yeah.
And you're full and it's just like it's as good as eating.
So would you like the vape burrito for
No, I want a real burrito.
Yeah.
I want a burrito from a place called Gordo's Taqueria in San Francisco.
Okay.
Which is a controversial choice. As San Francisco burritos go, but it is, I think, the greatest burrito in the Bay Area, which is the greatest burrito in the world.
Right.
And what they do their specialty is that they put two slices of cheese on the tortilla, then they put the whole tortilla into the tortilla steamer, and they whoosh, 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 steam, 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 steam. Yeah. And when they bring it out, you have a sheet of melted, perfectly melted cheese. Then they've got the greatest hot sauce, the green hot sauce. Usually, I'm a Rojo boy. You guys know that about
me. Sure. Yeah. That's why we invited you.
Yeah, I know. So they want me, and they go, they heard you're a Rojo boy. But this green salsa, this for some reason, this verde is very, very good. And then I want bean, cheese, rice, beans, and guacamole, and extra hot sauce. Roll it up. Give it to me. I don't need meat. I'm good.
No meat.
Wow. Bean and cheese burrito, Gordo's, greatest thing I've ever had. There's one good bean and cheese burrito.
Oh, but he puts rice in it. I don't like that.
I agree with it's you. We've not come to the judging portion.
It's a binding agent.
I think it ruins the whole taste. And he's really into like carbs with his carbs. Like, like he'll like potatoes and rice together. I think that's like a little with bread.
I've not even heard your main course yet. You are in for a good shot here.
Wait a second. Hold on. First of all, the burrito is the greatest food of all time. Second of all, rice is inherently a burrito food. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I don't like. I don't like burrito.
Yeah, of course you don't. You've never had one.
I have. Look, the whole point notion of putting all the stuff in there and then wrapping it all up. It's like you've got a baby's nappy and you're just you've got to fold it all up and then dispose of it. I hate the feeling of it.
The idea that you've conflated it to a baby's nappy, it's not inherent.
Just it feels right, though, with those beans.
I mean, when you said it, it did make me laugh in a way that felt familiar.
Yeah,
so I didn't like that.
It was instinctive.
Yeah. I like the rice in there.
It's part of it.
I like the rice.
What about some chopped potatoes? He put that in there, too.
No, I wouldn't have that in there.
I'll do a chopped potato in a breakfast burrito. There's a burrito called a California burrito, which is actually weirdly much more of a Southern California burrito. Right. It's rice, cheese, sour cream, carne asada, and French fries. And beans.
I would probably do that.
I wouldn't eat it, but it sounds delicious.
I would do it.
We had sandwiches with French fries in them last night. And it was too much for me. I had to take the French fries.
Ed picked them out like an absolute wimp.
Yeah, that does sound wimpy.
Seems slightly piggish.
Yeah. I was quite.
Oh, no wonder you referenced the baby's nappy. You're a bit of a baby yourself.
Natasha, your main course.
I'm going to have from Pacific Dining Car,
Tell them about what that is.
That's this restaurant downtown LA, and it's like an old box car kind of.
It's a 24-hour gourmet steakhouse.
Oh, white tablecloths only.
The way we describe it is it's a wonderful place to see a Los Angeles City Council member cheating on his wife.
That's old school.
Yeah. It's always great people watching, but then they have amazing food, and it's pretty expensive, but they have this salmon with, is it just hollandaise?
It's a maple ginger glaze salmon, and it is one of their best salmon dishes. It better be. Shit is like $59.
It's for
salmon.
Well, you pay.
You have to pay because they're a white cloth restaurant open all night long.
You're paying for the 24 hoursness of it. If it weren't for these prices, they would have closed down long ago.
Sure.
And it's a very unique, one of a kind place where at 4 in the morning you can get a white tablecloth.
Pacific Dining Car. It's like 10 minutes from Silver Lake. It's just right downtown, but not deep downtown. Like you don't have to take the freeways to get there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What is your perfect time to eat the salmon? Within a 24-hour period. 24
Definitely hours. After most restaurants close.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of feel it. You know, you're like, I can get this meal at 12:30 in the morning. That might be a good time to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After you've been celebrating something and then they have a great wine list.
Last time we were there, we went on Valentine's Day. And we had a show, I think. And then we went to Pacific Dining Car after Valentine's Day. And there was a couple there. And it was these two guys. And they were with their, they were both with No. It was a guy.
People take people they're trying to impress.
Yeah, and his unbelievably hot girlfriend, or I would assume lover, and then his funky best friend, on Valentine's Day, and he ignored her the whole time, and he just kept talking about Drake.
She was on her phone the whole time.
She was on her phone because they weren't talking to her, and he kept talking about Drake in a way that was clearly what he was trying to give across to his best friend, his girlfriend, and any of the patrons within 10 tables earshot, he knew Drake.
Right.
Yes.
Drake? Oh, you've been to Drake House? You've been to Drake's house? The whole time. It was so hilarious. He just kept saying Drake in this like overly familiar. You just don't say Drake in such a familiar way without being like.
It's quite a hard thing to do. Where it's like most celebs, if you want to show off that you know them, you just go in first name terms.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, man, everyone calls him Drake.
Aubrey.
How do
Aubrey.
I?
I'm sorry, you might know him as Drake.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I want to say that Pacific Dining Car has the most amazing breakfast. Also,
they
which
do
is
have
a, so like when I had my baby, Moshe went and got it because it was across the street, and it was like banana pancakes and like a million different kinds of eggs, very like old fashioned egg dishes.
It is a classic. Natasha likes it, old school, 100-year-old restaurant. And when we had the kid, I would run across the street and grab these like bruleed banana pancakes to bring to her.
And then you'd have
to
get back to change the burrito.
I love the different ways that you refer to your child as well. When I had my baby, when we had the kid.
I don't think of her as my baby.
Sure, no, absolutely.
She's an independent woman.
The
and she
kid.
Can, she can do what she wants. The only person that I consider close to me as the kid.
Yeah.
One person.
Yeah.
Drake is Drake.
It's Drake. Of course it's Drake. So you having the salmon?
Yeah, I'll have the salmon just because then I can also have wine. I don't really want to have wine at breakfast.
But the way they make it is they crust the salmon. I don't know why I'm helping you here, but they crust the salmon. They it's seared on top, so it's crispy and it's fully soft and perfect in the middle, and then it's a sweet, like almost Asian-y kind of like maple syrup ginger glaze. It's delicious. It's a sweet salmon.
And we always share it.
Yeah, we get one.
The crusted top is really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to.
Right. Do you want a wet napkin filled with baby shit? A perfectly cooked piece of salmon.
So I'm guessing you're guessing salmon. Natasha's winning that one. Yeah, salmon. Salmon's winning that one.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So, the side dish.
Okay, what was your side dish?
Well, mine is the cream spinach that you order at Pacific Dining Car. That
staying
goes
in the same place.
Staying there. We're not moving.
You don't want to leave.
Yeah?
It's really cool.
Get this game
You've not
spinach.
Left California so far for your menu. And so with Moshe's, we've been to San Francisco and Israel.
And Israel. Yeah. Okay.
I love California.
I was unable to decide. This is cheating now that it's a competition. If this was just more of a laid back, what do I do here? Well, I'll tell you what. Okay. I know what I'll do. I'll tell you what I couldn't decide between, and then I'm going to order the second thing.
Okay.
Deal?
Okay. Yeah.
I just thought it'd be cool because it's like we're talking memories and stuff. Jews have the worst food of any ethnic group probably in the world. I mean, Eastern European Jews.
Hummus. Okay.
Hummus, that's how bad Jewish food is that we had to literally colonize a region and go, our national dish, we invented it. And it's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's not from there. But like hummus is like an Arab food.
Right.
That Israelis are just like, no, we made it or whatever. But the one good food that Eastern European Jews make, it's mostly just like bad standard like Eastern European, you know, and I'm sure like meats and boiled chickens and sliced potatoes. But there's a dish called chulent, which is a rare dish.
Is one of your favorite foods?
One of the best things ever.
It's the face that Natasha made.
You have to describe it.
It's delicious.
Tell them what's in it.
Okay, it's a stew basically, but it's made with mixed beans, like 16-hour boiled beef, so it's like just falling apart, kind of the tenderest beef you've ever had in your life. Little barley and like sauce kind of situation, and then I'm not ordering this. In the middle, there's something called kishka, which is a kind of like wheat and beef fat pasty sausagey thing. It's like a starchy.
It's not sausage, right? Because that wouldn't be kosher.
It's beef fat, but it's made of like starch and. Okay, so what I will have tonight.
Well, you guys?
Let's stick on the challenge.
I wanted to take a swing for my ethnicity, but as I was doing it, I gave up.
I've never had someone describe something so specifically and in so much detail, and yet I still have no visual of what it would be and what that looks like. I have no. Like, what is that? A solid?
It's a pot, right?
It's between. You make it in a slow cooker, and it's between a stew and a chili and a soup and a.
Right. Do you eat it with a spoon?
You eat it. Yeah, you would eat it definitely with a spoon. Yeah.
Beautiful
and
name.
You suck in it.
You don't need to suck it.
No, you could suck it.
You
though.
Blow it
with
though,
a boba straw.
Yeah. Right, okay.
There's air one way or the other. Anything
it feels it should be served in like a tin bowl.
Yeah,
you mean in like a trench?
Yeah.
In 1917.
By the
quartermaster.
With like some whiskey to top it off with some whiskey.
It's the kind of thing when your foot is falling off due to trench rot.
It's
the perfect meal,
and then everyone sits around and imagines it's something else.
Yeah,
I'm imagining this is my mum's roast dinner.
Yeah, this is like now we're in like a gulag somewhere. Yeah. Everybody, it's like, remember real food? But what I will order.
Why can't you just describe
that
one?
I'm going to lose. Okay, fine. Okay. You know what? I'll stick with it.
I really want to hear what the other thing is, though.
Well, the greatest side dish ever is from the San Gabriel Valley. It's dandan noodles. I order it with no pork. And the dandan noodles are a soft egg noodle in a sesame sauce and like a spice and probably a lot of MSG. In this perfect concoction, and there's peanuts crumbled on top, and it's about the best thing in the world. The Chinese, for some reason, the people that are most into the noodle, i.e. the Italians and the Chinese, have decided that noodles should be a side dish, which is very funny, right? Like, the Italian meal is like you order pasta, but then we get to the main dish.
Noodles are a side dish? Dandan feels like a main dish.
No.
I feel like it can't really compete with creamed spinach.
You're really pushing him towards the
challenge. Well, so far, all you've said for cream spinach is cream spinach, and that was it.
Well, you know, it's like, it's all kind of the same.
He said, cream spinach is from that place.
Cream spinach is delicious.
No, listen, if you go to that restaurant, you'll get it. So let's take a quick pause and take a quick drive. But should I stick with challenge? Why not? Let's see. Let's just stick with challenge and see what you guys pick.
Fucking shitload of beans in your meal.
Okay.
That's true. It's a dream meal, so I don't have. There's no gas.
There's no gas. No, that's fine.
No gas.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any gas.
No.
Just full of beans.
Yeah, full of beans. The beautiful food of most of the world wars.
Do you want me to explain my spinach more?
Yes.
Please.
Okay. It's not too watery. Mm-hmm. It's got a good flavor. It's hot. Uh-huh. It's got salt and pepper.
Bit of spinach, bit of cream.
Yeah.
Bit of spinach, bit of cream, probably some like special ingredient that I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
You're going to win this one.
Can I suggest maybe a grating of nutmeg in there?
That maybe is what it is.
That might be it.
No, okay. You cannot. What is this, Christmas?
All right, beef paste.
It's beef and starch, yes. Okay?
Don't forget the barley.
You're making it sound not appealing. It's beef with starch.
You said it was pasty, pasty
it's
beef.
It's a beef starch paste.
And that's in the middle. That's like the with surprise in the middle.
Barley floating around.
As soon as I eat through this barley, I'm sure there'll be a nice treat for me in the middle here. Oh, it's pasty beef.
Oh, well, I think Chalant wins. It sounds like the guy's
I had some lovely cream spinach. We had some good cream spinach in New York in Lil Frankie.
Yes, we did.
That had some cheese grilled on the top as well.
That sounds good.
Does that happen at...
No, I think theirs is very simple.
Okay.
But heated like in one of those ovens where it's like very hot.
And there's a little crust on top. Let me tell you about Lil Frankie's.
Yeah.
I went to Lil Frankie's once and we ordered some pasta. You remember this?
Oh, yeah, and they wanted to put truffle.
They come by and they're like, and we have a special right now with a winter truffle. Would you like to try the winter truffle? And we're like, oh, yeah. And they're just like... Seven? What was it? $50.
I'm like, was so mad.
I'm like, no, you don't do that. You say, would you like to try the winter truffle? Yeah. It's $50.
Yeah, sure.
You don't shavy, and then blood out.
It was enough. There was not enough shaves for $50.
Yeah. Nothing. It's just. Unforgivable. It was unforgivable.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's not a good move.
It was so casual cool. The way it came out. Like, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. Oh, we just found this in the back.
It's just a special. Do you want some? You know what another pet peeve I have? Oh, I hate this.
Yeah.
When waiters will come up to you, you order a lemonade or a Diet Coke or something, and they go, oh, did you want another Diet Coke?
Oh, yeah.
I always want to say, yeah, for free.
Yeah.
Like, tell me. Do you want to buy another Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Don't casual it so that I'm fooled into
paying
again.
That confident
again.
As well. I was at a place back in England, ping pong chain dim sum place. This guy came along and he was. Our drinks were like pretty low. He's like, hey guys, I don't like what I'm seeing here in these drinks. They're looking a little low to me. Someone on this table's got to be thirsty. Who's thirsty? You're thirsty. You're thirsty. I'm getting you some extra drinks. And it's that thing of like, no, we don't really want one. So, yeah. Oh, you got to want some drinks, guys. Look at you. You're going to be too thirsty.
It's got to be deliberate too when they do that casual thing. It's got to be a thing where it's like the social embarrassment of saying, I would love one, but I would not like to pay for another.
Sure.
You're so embarrassed, you just go, well, okay. And then they charge you. Oh, I truly hate that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Also, Little Frankie's would be the worst place to do that because when we were there, it was cash and no card. It's cash only.
That's right.
A lot of places in New York are like
if
that.
If they do that, then they're like $50 and you've only bought enough out for a certain. That's a pretty big move. Also, what I figured out in my head is that truffle based oral ordering practices is T-boop. Which is quite a satisfying thing to say.
What is it?
In a court of law.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
This person has been engaged in
oral ordering practices. They're engaged
that's
in
a real
T-boop.
Thing?
No, we just made it up. It just happened. T-boop.
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 They're engaged in T-boop, Your Honor.
T-boop. I opened up the child's nappy and look what I found. A spoonful of T-boop.
Surrounded by T-boop. Pasty beef.
Pasty beefy.
So I think the cream spinach is going to win if you were going to go for the beef paste.
Listen,
I mean,
I'll back down.
If you'd gone for the dandan, it would have been
dandan would have been a shoe.
It felt like cheating.
It did, because
so
it is like a main dish.
Choosing a nice dish? Okay,
you know what? Cholent is delicious, and I challenge the two of you. Find a Jewish family back in London that will serve you cholent. Take a bite and tell me what you think.
Okay. How would you suggest I do that? Because it's quite tricky to go around London are you Jewish?
Go to a Jewish neighborhood, scream, I want cholent. Cut a little bit more on the sides of your haircut.
Yeah, sure.
Make it a little bit more stark of a kind of undercut haircut. Yeah. Comb it down. Starched khaki head to toe. Boots. You walk in and you say, I want Chalant, who is Jewish. And they will welcome you into that community with open arms like you have never experienced before.
Yeah. Also, I guess make sure you say, I want Chalant, who is Jewish. Not who is Jewish, I want Chalant. Because I guess who is Jewish, just like straight out the gate.
Stop listening.
People want to hear what it is that you want, not just straight in with who is Jewish.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just say drop the Chalant and just say who is Jewish.
Really?
That's plenty.
Come with me.
Yeah, they'll just come out. Yeah, come with me. Who's Jewish? Come with me. They'll come out with a bowl of chalent. That's like a code thing.
I
guarantee it.
Also, I guess if there's any listeners who live in London who are Jewish who make chalent, then let us know.
Yeah.
Chalent's good.
We'll send the great Benito around and you can give him some and you can bring it to us.
Do you like beef stew?
Yeah.
Do you like beans?
Yeah.
I actually don't really like beans.
Okay, you're out. You're in.
Yeah, I'm still in.
Okay, you like beef stew. You like beans.
Yeah.
Honey, you already lost.
No.
Favorite drink?
As my child says, mommy needs wine.
What?
Literally true.
She'll say that sometimes.
How old is this kid?
Two.
She's two. Natasha went to the other room the other day, and our kid goes, mommy's getting wine. And I was like, no, she's not. it was kind of a sad moment. Well, you don't drink that much wine. But
no, but I mean, I would have wine with my dinner for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Allowed?
Always.
What are we talking?
I would have whatever people like something. I mean, I like so many different kinds. Like something that would go, probably a white wine with the salmon.
What's your go-to?
Like a Sauvignon Blanc.
Uh-huh.
From where? Oh, don't you like specific ones?
Didn't somebody, I would want just something not sweet.
No, but somebody recently told you not to get wines from where? That there was it from California?
I mean, I'd always rather it be French.
That something was wrong with the California wines?
I don't
know if that's
I feel
true.
Like I'm watching... have you got the board game Articulate here? I feel like I'm watching a couple playing that. Like a Christmas like, someone told you didn't want a wine from where? Where was it?
I told you I'm
not like... I'm not going to be able to describe everything in great detail.
But for a minute there, which I really enjoyed, you said, I want wine. And I said, what type of wine? And you were on the verge of just going...
If something goes with something, you know, I like to educate myself all the time. So I'm very open to new culinary pairings. So I would maybe want to be surprised.
I've only recently come around to white wine at all as a concept because I think I just had terrible white wine. And bad white wine is, you can get away.
Chardonnay is gross.
It's so disgusting. Bad red, you can sort of get away with it. But bad white wine is.
Sauvignon Blanc is always really nice and like crisp and not too like sweet or tart.
Do they have synthetic wine in England?
Synthetic wine?
Or like, it's like not made from grapes. It's like we had a thing called Ripple. And a thing called Mad Dog, and a thing called Cisco, and a thing called Boone's Farm. Do you have any of those?
No. None of those.
They're low.
They sound like members of a gang.
They're like, well, if you're in a gang, you drink those things.
Right, okay.
And Cisco they used to call liquid crack.
Right.
And it was like, it was a carbonated synthetic wine, like almost like a soda. It was the lowest of the low. But I wonder what the equivalent is.
We have the sort of thing that you drink as a teenager.
Yes, it's very much that.
Is this like, what the drink you're picking?
No.
we'd have like cheap cider. Like you can buy like bottles of cheap cider called White Lightning and White Thunder.
Yeah.
Thunderbird was one of the ones.
It must be sort of similar.
Yeah. Sort of similar zone.
But you could get like for like £2, you could get 2 liters or something. Really bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
I like when restaurants have someone who comes to your table and they'll explain to you like their favorite wines and what would go with every, what are they called?
Sommelier,
yes. And I like when they like suggest things that you would have never known. And
I also like that, but I find myself while they're describing things that I'm nodding like I'm taking it all in and I know I'm not going to remember any of that by the end of the meal.
Well, you know, they did a control test on sommeliers where they like give them a blind taste test of like the fine wine that they recommend and then an equivalent very cheap version and they all failed.
Really?
So who knows? Who knows what's really going on out there?
Have you seen that documentary, Tom?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It was really good.
So they have to go, they do this like this exam to become a proper sommelier and they're so stressed about it and they have to learn it with flashcards. And
that's for wine, but there's also like tea sommeliers too.
Yeah.
I've met one of those.
I did a water sommelier once here in LA. So, just in case you thought LA doesn't delve into its own stereotype enough, there's a restaurant at the LA Museum of Modern Art and they have a water tasting flight. And they have a water sommelier. And he comes through with like 16 different kinds of water. And you taste them all. And I will say, to their credit, most of it is hooey. Uh-huh. But there are a couple of the waters with a high mineral content where you're like, this is unique. And it doesn't taste like anything I've ever had before.
Okay.
It had like, it's all the ones with the most, it's like Swiss, minerally. It definitely had a flavor.
My tea sommelier in Uruguay told me that Darjeeling is the champagne of teas.
No sentence ever started with my tea sommelier in Uruguay.
My tea sommelier in Uruguay.
I'm just saying he clearly was, he had gone to school.
Yeah.
He was like very into, I mean, I obviously didn't care.
The Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
From France.
Yeah, let's say that.
A French Sauvignon Blanc.
Very cold.
Yes.
I am not a drinker. Uh-huh. And so my challenge at fancy restaurants is often, do you have something interesting enough for me? I get a little bummed when it's like everybody has a fancy cocktail, mm-hmm. and then I get like a Diet
Coke. People can make so much money off of that. I don't know why every restaurant just doesn't have non-alcoholic $9 mocktails for people like Moshe.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of places like tasting menu places that will do a juice pairing as well as a wine pairing.
That does feel like, that feels like bullshit to
you
me.
Want, like, sparkling water with it. Like, you don't want, like, heavy juice.
But what I have had a pairing of is coffee. And because I'm not a drinker, I'm a big coffee person. So I'm going to make my order officially. It's actually what I'm drinking right at this very moment.
Wow.
It's I will have mine, a cup of Phil's. It's a San Francisco-based coffee chain where they make every cup by the by hand. But it's pour over. Uh-huh. And I'll do it Phil's way. I'm actually not drinking mine Phil's way, but Phil's way is heavy cream, brown sugar. They do a pour over, and then they pour it back and forth, back and forth. It's a dark roast blend, the Turkish blend, with a pinch of cardamom in it, and a sprig of mint leaf on top. Phil's is so. This is my best story about Phil's. My brother went in to order a cup, and he ordered a cup of coffee, and they're like, "Okay, that'll be $7," and he's like, $7. And the guy, it happened to be Phil. Phil himself. And Phil goes, "Oh, you don't think it's worth it? Taste the coffee. If it's not worth $7, you don't pay." And my brother's like, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, it's all good. Of course I'll pay." He goes, "No, taste it. You tell me if it's worth $7. If you don't think it's worth $7, you don't pay." Mm-hmm. And my brother took a sip and he gave him the fucking $7.
Wow.
Because it's the craziest cup of coffee you'll ever have in your life.
That does sound crazy. A mint leaf in it.
A mint leaf, cardamom, brown sugar, yum. One other tidbit about the Turkish blend is that in Glendale, California, which is the highest concentration of Armenian Americans in, I think, America, I went in and I said, "Can I get the Turkish, please?" And they said, "Oh, we don't have the Turkish, please. We don't have the Turkish. We have, it's called the Delightful Blend." One store has changed the name of Turkish because of the Armenian genocide. Oh, wow. Just that. Which I thought was so interesting. It's like, you can still get a German chocolate cake in the streets of Israel.
Yeah.
But you cannot get a cup of Turkish.
I feel like they missed the trick by calling it the Delightful. They could have called it the Enemy Blend or something.
True.
Sold, but then nobody would buy it at all, right? That's my order.
And a nice pot of steaming hot coffee and steaming hot bowl of cholent. What a night.
Yeah, you've got to go home with him at the end of this night.
I don't know if this is cheating, but I actually have some of it. I hear you guys can taste it. Well, no, I'm just kidding. But
Ed, you should taste it. I don't drink coffee, but Ed.
You literally could if you wanted.
Ed, you should drink the coffee.
I could even open it up a bit.
Ed, you
so
tell
you don't
me
have
this isn't worth
lip.
$7.
Has this ever happened before?
No, not really.
Has this got everything you meant?
This doesn't have the cream.
That's actually better.
The cream doesn't have the mint.
I actually prefer coffee.
And it's hot. Tell me what you think. I had an iced one earlier.
Does it have the mint in it?
It's got. Yes, it does. Okay. Take a sip. Tell us what you think.
Out of the thermos.
Very sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
It's very sweet, but the mint is really doing a lot there.
Yeah.
That's pretty delicious.
You taste those
cardamom
back notes?
I kind of
want to
taste it, but I haven't had coffee in like a long time.
You would fucking love this.
Would I?
You are going to lose your mind, mate.
I'm going to have a sip
of it. Just have a sip.
He hasn't had caffeine in years.
It's going to be funny when you can't sleep.
Well, I kind of have every now and again.
He's going to hit the roof.
Little sip of it.
You get the mint just when you're about to take the first sip.
Okay.
It's a chain, Phil's. It's from San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's delicious. That's very nice. That'd
get you back on the stuff.
Bring me back.
Thank you.
And bring
you know
me back.
What's craziest
coffee.
About this? You know what that mint leaf is made of? Beef paste.
Oh, delicious.
No, but the cream foam top really does put it over the...
Yeah. It does send it into an area of decadence where it's almost a dessert. Right?
I can imagine it. And that's what I want. All my drinks have to be desserts.
Now, I love booze. I love drinking. But I think it might have to be the coffee for me.
I hear you.
Ooh,
it's good.
I'm a red wine guy. I'm a red wine guy more than anything.
Yeah. So we're neck and neck now again?
What's your...
I would go for the coffee as well. Okay, but I just had it.
Wait, no, I think I'm in front.
No. You thought you were on the side dish?
Oh, the side dish.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wait,
back
you
away. Back away, Moshe.
I'm sorry. It's like someone just like walked out of a car crash holding the steering wheel. I think
am I
won.
Okay?
I won, right? So it's neck and neck going into the desserts.
Okay. I mean, very excited. We haven't planned it like that. That's genuinely
well,
just...
Yeah, this is genuinely how we're feeling.
So the dessert is everything.
This is the decider.
Okay.
And
this
is... Now I've got a real dilemma. Because I know what her dessert is. It will lose. Except if I do what I was going to go in here with, because I was just going to be cheeky.
You don't know what these guys like, though.
But you know what? It'll even the playing field. I'm going to stick with my original choice, and I'll probably lose only because of the choice that I've made.
Cup of beans.
Yeah, there you go.
With some barley.
No, that's disgusting. It's pure unrefined baby shit. Yeah. Just a spoonful of baby shit.
Yeah.
Okay, mine is also in California, Los Angeles.
It is?
Yeah, and it is Spumoni ice cream.
That's not just a California thing.
No, but the one that I like is at Dantana's.
Oh, okay, sure.
Dantana's.
Explain Dantana's.
So Dantana's like an old school Italian restaurant, and it's very hard to find. Do you guys know what Spumoni ice cream is?
No, I'm looking forward to finding out
about it. I know
what
ice cream is, and I love it.
So I don't really... ice cream's always my favorite dessert. Like, he always wants to get, like, the panna cotta and all that, like, heavy. Like, I'm not that into it. Uh-huh. It never seems good to me. It's always too sweet. Anyway, so ice cream is what I like for dessert. So this is chocolate, cherry, and pistachio ice cream.
Oh.
Ooh. So here's an interesting...
Not strawberry, not vanilla.
It's like a real Italian-American Neapolitan ice cream. Right?
But Neapolitan is chocolate, vanilla,
sure. Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Yeah, and it's
pistachio,
this,
cherry, chocolate is like a perfect combination.
When I was living in Italy for a little while, and I was working on a film there, and she was telling me about Spumoni, and I went to all the Italian people on the crew, and I was like, have you ever heard of Spumoni ice cream? And they're like, oh, Spumoni.
It's like an American.
Italian American ice cream flavor.
Yeah.
And it's slices of chocolate.
It's very like 1950s.
It's true, like classic.
It'd be worse if you found out it meant sperm in Italian or something.
Yeah. Spumoni means fuck you, America.
Dantana's is a very cool place because it's like everybody's in tuxes and they're all like charm, like all the waiters are super charming, and they like, you know, they you feel like they love you, and uh-huh. There'll be a movie, there'll be like Warren Beatty there,
and then they'll come make a Caesar salad at your table.
It's a really classy, nice, awesome joint.
Spumoni sounds good. Like we're both ice cream boys.
Damn it,
yeah,
you more than me.
I love ice cream more than anything else.
What's your favorite flavor?
Well, you've opened up a can of worms there.
That's what the flavor of Spumoni is.
Yeah.
Moshe likes like jam-based, like fruity
ice creams.
Yeah, and I always go for the chocolate.
I would go lean more in the chocolate kind of direction. Fruity ice creams, they have to be... I'd probably rather have a sorbet if I'm going to have a fruity one.
Grapefruit sorbet, that's nice.
Yeah, like those kind of citrusy sorbets are delicious. I think ice creams are like more chocolatey or toffee. I like salty ice creams as well, with the salted caramel or something like that. Some like salted biscuits in there, or like
we went to Ample Hills Creamery in New York, which is basically they just empty whole bags of candy into the ice cream. There's some ice cream in there, but it's mainly just eating bits.
That sounds
Did
like
you
so
love
rough.
It?
Yeah. Ample Hills, it was amazing. So much. I mean, Creamery, it is creamy as hell. It's the creamiest ice cream I've ever had, and there's like potato chips in there, and like the salted graham crackers, as you call them here.
What do you call them?
I guess that's what we would call them.
Do you even have graham crackers?
No, we don't really. But we would read it as graham crackers.
Yeah, we'd call them graham crackers.
But you'd call them graham biscuits.
Graham biscuits.
Sure. Graham biscuits.
Yeah. We'd have graham, which is probably why it hasn't taken off in the UK.
Wait, what do people eat when they go camping? What is the camping snack from a campfire?
Oh, yeah, we just catch a rabbit.
Right, okay. I mean, and on your horse, right? You go on a horse.
And you'd love this. Tin of beans.
Tin of beans. But there isn't like a campfire.
There's not a proper thing. I was in the Boy Scouts. That won't surprise anyone in this room. But like when we went like camping, we would put... So what my favourite thing to do is get tin foil and you cut up a banana in half and then put a Mars bar in the middle of it and then just wrap that up and put it in the campfire and then leave it there for a bit, get it out, and then just eat all the melted Mars bar with the banana.
Can't say that sounds bad.
But you got to peel the foil off and then you got to suck and bite it.
Sure. Suck a banana. Gun. We don't even cook the banana before we suck it. Yeah. In the States, every young man learns to just suck a banana down to the hilt. Yeah. Just as a rite of passage.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Ascension into manhood. You guys do know that I'm referring to the classic s'more.
Yes.
S'mores are great. The first hotel that we stayed at in New York on this trip, there was free a bag of s'mores in the hotel room.
Great
and
dessert.
I was delighted.
There was a fire?
No, there was just a bag of like pre-made s'mores.
Oh, that's cute.
Like from a local store. They were so delicious. Benito didn't want his, so he gave me
chocolate,
his ones.
Marshmallow, Graham biscuits.
Yes, yeah,
Graham. Really good. Now I'm going to lose. Now, see, I didn't expect you would respond. If you knew what Spumoni was, you would probably be rolling your eyes. But because it sounds exotic to you,
sure.
Yeah. You think it's cool. Now yeah. I'm tempted to cheat and
no,
do a
just
really...
just do your thing.
I like chocolate, cherry, and
listen,
pistachio flavors. Yeah.
My
great.
ultimate dessert, uh-huh. My ultimate fancy dessert is a whole other story. But my ultimate dessert in life is I'm a freak when it comes to gummy candies. I mean, I can't get enough.
The more disgusting, the better.
I'll eat a pound at a time.
Okay. He likes whatever the kind that amount, are like sour.
Whatever amount I get.
But radioactive like looking face, like fluorescent.
I don't like the face you're making at all. I feel like I'm going to lose. But I will, any amount I buy, I will eat them all piece by piece until I am done, no matter
what. Like I often
what
have to hide them for him. I'll put them in the oven. And then I remember when I first met him, he had a baggie in his hot car of melted, all his melted gummies, which also had chocolate covered gummy bears mixed in. So there was like chocolate and gummy. Yeah. And he poked a hole in the bottom of the bag and just sucked again.
I'm a suck-based eater.
Sucked the liquid formation of the... of the
and that was when
at.
You first met him.
Yeah,
I was actually
confidence. It's called confidence.
Yeah, that's a big move.
I was impressed. How did you get me to think that was impressive?
It must have been a gag. There's
happen?
No way I wasn't doing it as a like.
Take
I'll
a seat.
Do this
I'd
gross
like to
thing.
Meet up again. Hold on a second.
It's, I got Mars bars and banana.
What
it's
are you
like
doing
I'm
Tuesday?
Breastfeeding.
I should have cheated, but it would have made the podcast less fun. So
sure. But that's that. Your, I mean, what is your genuine answer, those gummies from the bag?
To his
in
credit, he was making a
moment.
Joke, but you did do it.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of follow through on the joke.
Listen, let me just.
I wouldn't do that joke on like an early date with someone that I like. Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, like.
Maybe you didn't
memory,
like me that much.
The memory. No, that was a test. If you had left there, I'd have been like, she really wasn't the one. But the fact that you stuck through that, even if that, then I knew that you would ride with me if I took human life, which I have, and I'm going to reveal to you now.
Yeah, well, it's fair enough to reveal that on this pod.
I mean, it's got to be the ice cream.
Obviously, yeah, congratulations.
I won!
You won.
You won!
You
won.
Absolutely. You won.
You guys are going to have a great time at this restaurant.
Yeah, and now, I mean, obviously that means that you are now, mostly because you lost, you're now also a genie.
Oh, amazing.
And you're the shackles are appearing on your wrists.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're going into the lamp and you're going to be working at the restaurant forever.
Can I ask my wife one question?
Yeah,
the genie? I am the genie. I will grant you one wish. What is it?
That's what you're asking me right now?
Yeah. I think you guys kind of know
what it should be.
Yep.
Yeah.
That we're not divorced. That I had met you.
Free me, motherfucker. Free me. I want to come back and hang out. We have a child together. Please.
Okay,
oh, no.
I'll free you.
No,
I'll free you.
Wait. I'm sorry. We're not divorced, but I'm getting sucked into this lamp. I'm gone.
It's
you're
not
on
a
your
lamp.
Own.
It's a big bag of melted gummy candies.
Yeah. You're in heaven, actually. Congratulations. Suck away.
I appreciate the divorce. What's that in the corner of the lamp? Beef paste.
Okay, I'm going to read your orders back to you now. Me and Ed have decided our favourite meal, obviously.
Yes.
But we'll see if you agree with this. So, Natasha, I'll do yours first. Sparkling water with limes. You would like... Was it? Oh, you skipped the bread?
Yeah, bread
yeah,
was
we
skipped.
Decided to
you
skip
skipped
the bread.
The bread.
I had a baguette. I had a crust baguette.
Yeah. So Natasha skipped the bread. You would want a wedge salad with blue cheese and bacon. You would like the salmon with maple and ginger glaze. You want the cream spinach from Pacific Dining Car, which is the salmon's also from there. The drink, you want a French Sauv Blanc. And the dessert, you want Spumoni ice cream, chocolate cherry pistachio from Dan Tanner's. Moshe, you want... you're sharing the sparkling water with the limes. You want warm French bread, just crust. Nothing else. Hummus with sliced egg, hot sauce and pickles on it. Burrito from Gordo's. Chalant. Phil's coffee. Chalant. Dark roast blend. Heavy cream. Brown sugar. Pinch of cardamom. Mint leaf. And gummy candy sucked from a bag.
I just want to point out that at the beginning of this podcast, Natasha was like, well, Moshe is really the foodie in this family.
Yeah.
Hearing it read back, I'll take the L. It sounds pretty fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, you're foraging for all that. Just like running around in people's bins.
I'll just take a hot bag of garbage if there are gummies in it.
What Well, there we have it. What a wonderful menu from Moshe and Natasha there, James.
Delicious. Two meals of deliciousness. But one more delicious than the other, just slightly.
The beef paste really didn't sell that menu to me.
You know what? I imagine those dishes do taste nice, but he's got to work on his describing words.
Yeah, he really does. He picked all the wrong things to describe, i.e. beef paste.
Yeah, don't say beef paste. Don't ever say beef paste.
Thank you very much for coming in, Moshe and Natasha.
Moshe Cash has released a crowd work only album.
Yes.
Called Surfing, baby!
It's called Crowd Surfing Volume 1 is what it's called. And maybe the subtitle of it is Surfing Baby.
Yeah, maybe. No, who's to say it's not?
They didn't say Tapioca Pearls, which is a bloody relief.
They didn't say Tapioca Pearls. That's the only reason we're plugging anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that'd be it.
That should also be part of it. If they say the secret ingredient, they're out the Dream Restaurant and we don't do anything to plug their work.
Oh, that'd be so great.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Oh, hey, let's plug our own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Off Menu Official on Twitter and Instagram. Also, offmenupodcast.co.uk for all your off-menu needs, including all the restaurants that are mentioned in the podcast are listed by the Great Benito on a page called Restaurant.
And also, go on to Amazon Prime and check out my special Blood Sugar.
Woohoo, it is funny.
Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello, my name's Rob Orton, and I do the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. The Rob Orton Daily Podcast is a daily podcast that is quite short. Some are 2 minutes long, some are 10 minutes long, and they are stories and poems, and basically all the thoughts I've ever had that I like enough to want to share with people. And the Rob Orton Podcast is available on Apple, Acast, Spotify, all the other places where you normally get your podcasts, and on social media it is at Rob Orton Podcast. Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.